Growing Healthy Pigs podcast.
Hello and welcome to our first episode of the second series of the Growing Healthy Pig podcast. I'm Ingrid Potter, Key Account Manager for Pigs at MSD Animal Health. This is the podcast that talks about key industry news and updates within the pig sector, and how, as an industry, we can work together to tackle challenges and changes faced by the sector. In today's episode, we'll be talking to Richard Pearson on antibiotic use in the pig sector. Pig farmers have worked hard to reduce antibiotics in the field by 40% in the last 5 years. But with new RUMA targets to reduce this by a further 30% by 2024, we discuss if this is achievable and what can be done to reach this target at a farm level. We'll also catch up with Adam Marshall, one of our Growing Healthy Pig ambassadors, who has successfully reduced antibiotic use on his farm with the help of a strict vaccination policy. So if you're listening to us in the shed, tractor, or in your kitchen while you rustle up some dinner, get comfy and stay tuned. Today we're speaking to Richard Pearson from George Vet Group to find out more about the antibiotic reductions the industry has made to date and what needs to be done to reduce this further. Richard, thank you for joining us today. If you would like to do a little introduction about who you are and what you do within the pig sector.
Okay, thanks Ingrid, and first of all thanks for the invitation to speak to you this afternoon. As you said, my name is Richard Pearson. I'm a practitioner and director at the George Vet Group in Malmesbury. I am currently Senior Vice President of Pig Veterinary Society. I have chaired PVS Meds Group for the past 3 years, and I've also sat on Pig Health and Welfare Council Antimicrobial Use Subgroup and participated in helping try to set some of the sector-specific targets for the pig sector that we've taken forward from that group to RUMA's Targets Task Force, which has been tasked with setting targets for each of the agricultural sectors from 2020 through to 2024.
Thank you, Richard. How do you feel that the pig industry has done so far in tackling antibiotic use?
Well, I think the very brief answer to that one is overall, I think the pig sector's done a great job by anybody's standards to reduce overall use from approximately 280 mgs per kg PCU in 2015 to just over 100 mgs per kg PCU where we stand currently in 2020-2021 must be regarded as great progress. I note use of the words to date in the question, and of course that's correct. There's work still to be done. We're on a journey, and we've really made a great start, but there's further work to be done.
Thanks, Richard. What level of improvement have we seen as a sector when it comes to reducing antibiotic use, and how has this been achieved?
I mentioned some of the figures there a moment ago. We've seen basically over a 60% reduction in overall use in the pig sector since 2015, great progress. Something like 95% reduction in the use of the highest priority, critically important antibiotics. And again, that's really great progress. And we've also seen an ongoing and significant shift in the mode of administration of antibiotics to pigs. And I think this is significant. Even 3 years ago, feed medication accounted for approximately 80% of the total antibiotics administered to pigs. And that's now more like 60%. And ongoing shift is occurring. That's definitely a significant feature and reflects vets and farmers' change of mindset to some degree on some of these issues from more of a sort of just in case approach maybe to a much more targeted approach. And I should also say having good data in the form of EMB has really been one of the great enablers in this journey so far.
Absolutely. And you've talked here about some great progress that we've seen, you know, with up to 60% reductions. So why do you feel that we have the need for this new target?
So new targets have been introduced for all of the food producing sectors. And I think that's important to realise it's not just in pigs. And new targets have been announced for all sectors. All of the new sector targets really reflect the fact that we just need to keep pushing for good antibiotic stewardship in all species. And when I say that, include humans in that message as well. there are multitudes of reasons why that's the case, but I think foremost here for me is the fact that these are really vital medicines for us in both human and veterinary medicine, and we need to keep them working. And part of that keeping working is to use them as responsibly and judiciously as we can. I should also say that we don't just have a target. The 30% reduction from 2020 to 2024 is the target that grabs the headlines, but there are multiple other targets reflecting really a more holistic approach. It's not really just about the numbers anymore. So we've certainly got to other non-numerical targets, including actions for PHUs. Those are persistently high users. We've got targets for monitoring pig health, because at the end of the day, the last thing we want to do is to destabilise pig health and make pig health and welfare worse from reducing less antibiotics. We've got targets around wiener management, and of course we face a likely ban on zinc, which is racing at us next year. We've got targets for more targeted delivery of antibiotics, the shift from feed to water medication I mentioned, and also targets around veterinary medicines training as well. So a little bit more background, that it's more of a holistic approach rather than just about numbers.
Absolutely. And now talking about the farmers that this impacts most, you know, do you think they are really aware of the requirements to reduce antibiotic use on farming? And is this a serious consideration for them at this time?
That's a good question, Ingrid. I think those of us who've been sort of directly involved in the process, it can become a bit all consuming at times. But you know, what is that level of awareness that's out there? I think in general, there's reasonable awareness of the need across the pig sector for good antimicrobial stewardship. At an individual level, awareness will vary. You know, different people engage on different things, and perhaps variable awareness with regard to some of the finer points of the targets and perhaps some of the non-numerical targets. Despite all of the comms work done by PVS, MPA, AHDB, RUMA, the bodies, I think at the moment farmers have been concentrating on the here and now, and that's quite understandable with recent problems marketing pigs associated with COVID problems in plants and everything else. So, you know, we need to continue, I think, all of us, to try and get the message out and make sure that it's still in people's mindset that we do need to push on from where we are today. And we have got a major Red Tractor Standards review going on at the moment, which many of your listeners will be aware of. And I think this will also be a useful opportunity to increase awareness and hopefully be a facilitator for some of the things that we want to achieve with the RUMA targets, including things like vet med training and actions for persistently high using units.
Absolutely. And really, how often as a pig practitioner do you find the conversation returning to antimicrobial usage on farms? Do you find that farmers are coming to you to discuss other disease prevention strategies?
Quite frequently, yes, but it very much depends on the quality of that vet-farmer relationship and how that works. And, you know, if that's a good, strong relationship, I think it's a great opportunity for discussing all of these things. We are on something of a mandatory footing, you know, already in terms of we've got some assistance with farm assurance on this. So as vet, we have an obligation to be checking all Red Tractor assured farms, submissions to EMB, to the electronic medicines book on a quarterly basis to check that submissions are taking place. And we've also got an obligation to review that data with the producer on an annual basis. And as I said earlier, this has been one of the great enablers. You know, if you've got data, you can look at it, you can benchmark it, and you can have really sensible discussions with your producer as to, is this where we want to be? What are the strategies can we look at here? You know, where can we try and reduce and refine usage and look at other strategies?
Absolutely. I mean, these are all great measures that we're taking, and I think, as you pointed out, that practitioner-producer relationship is absolutely key in reaching these targets. But on the other flip side of this, where do you feel that the main pitfalls are when it comes to antibiotic use in the pig industry? And how can these be rectified or even improved?
Well, if you boil it down to a really, really simple level, if you farm healthy pigs, you don't need antibiotics or correction. You don't need antibiotics very often or very much. And so I think that's one of the fundamentals that we hang on to. Health is the absolute key. And you know, you could write a thesis on this, but the main pitfalls that we've had really have been endemic health challenges in the pig sector, from a variety of bacterial and sometimes underlying viral conditions. You add on various layers of issue and challenge on top of that, when you bring in things like aging buildings and aging infrastructure, and we certainly do need ongoing investment in the pig sector to help overcome some of those issues. Feed medication has been very convenient, and it remains a convenient, efficacious and great way of administering treatment to our pigs. And oral medication, as in humans, is still the major route of administration. But those aspects, it will get harder and potentially more expensive to administer medication to pigs in that way. And you can look at that in two ways. Perhaps it has been somewhat too easy in the past, and it will get slightly harder and more expensive, I think, and that's crystal ball gazing, in the future.
Yeah.
And biosecurity, you know, maybe something of a pitfall, but we've got work to do on biosecurity, and hopefully some aspects of the pathway, such as lorry washing and improved cooperation across the sector, could be helpful here. And other aspects of biosecurity, such as the significant diseases charter, and fostering that sort of cooperative spirit where my future is tied up with your future, are going to be important things into the future.
Thanks for that, Richard. I see you touched on the animal health pathway there. I mean, what are your thoughts on the animal health pathway in terms of the pig sector? And do you feel that this is going to support and encourage the reduction of antibiotic use at farm level?
Yeah, that's another great question, Ingrid. And I sincerely hope so. And, you know, I'm a vet. Health and welfare means a lot to me. And if we get away from the pathway term for 1 second, it's the animal health and welfare pathway. And I firmly believe something should do exactly what it says on the tin. And so hopefully we can see health and welfare improve in the pig sector on the back of this. So that would be a great thing. Pig Veterinary Society has already invested a lot of time and effort in this, as have many other stakeholders already, because we just feel it is so important to do that. And it's really vital that farmers engage with the pathway too, so that it ends up being something that's meaningful for us all.
You shared with us that you have been actively involved in putting forward the new targets for RUMA for the antibiotic reduction. How are your feelings about the realisticness of the 2024 targets?
Well, I think and hope the targets are realistic, but I suppose I would say that, wouldn't I? The direction of travel must and will remain downwards for lots of reasons, and we touched on those slightly earlier. To use a diet analogy, when we got started in earnest in 2015, losing those first few pounds was relatively easy. It's now got significantly tougher. And that's why there's a subtle shift of emphasis in the new targets. That's why they're slightly more holistic. And that's why we've, in particular, got some specific actions for persistently high users. And at the end of the day, if you change nothing, nothing will change. But yes, I do think an approximately 70 mix per kg PCU target for 2024 represents a realistic target for the sector. And it's important to say that this is a cross-sector target, not a farm-specific target, because within that, firstly, there are very many, many farms that are already using extremely low levels of antibiotics. And secondly, we know from a lot of analysis that we've been able to do that usage does vary by farm type. So some farm types really use very little antibiotics and some have to use slightly more. So that's a sector specific headline, but does need to be addressed at an individual farm level rather than thinking that that's the target for every farm. So as I said, many farms are using a lot less than that already.
Absolutely. And I have noticed, even in the few short years that I have been in the industry, that we seem to be making a real step change in getting a solid base vaccination protocol. How important do you think that has been to improve the health and welfare and thus reduce antibiotic usage on farm?
I think it's good to highlight the vaccination and the importance of vaccination in terms of a preventive health strategy. It's certainly one of the important tools. For many years now in the pig sector, we have been using vaccines very effectively, and I think that will remain a very important feature of health control as we push forward and push through with this current set of targets. Pharmaceutical companies have certainly played their part in bringing forward new and novel vaccines to the market, combination vaccines and novel vaccination techniques, and indeed vaccines for new conditions. And they all certainly have a place. In some situations as well, vets and farmers are also using autogenous vaccines more widely than perhaps we have in the past, where we've got a farm-specific issue that we can't address by using a commercial vaccine. All of that's important, together with many other strategies, environmental improvements and changes in management. And you might include things like batch management, all in, all out there. Health improvement is another vital one for us using less antibiotics in the future. And that can be through techniques such as medicated elimination programs. To some people, it might seem a little perverse to suggest using more antibiotics, but they can be really great techniques to improve health status in the longer term. One of the other important things is certainly a more targeted approach to use of antibiotics in the pig sector. And by that, I mean using antibiotics very specific for the pigs that really only need it, and also when they only need it. So in our maritime climate, the environmental and the weather conditions do vary throughout the year. And we now know for a lot of the time, pigs can cope perfectly fine. And it's really being brave enough and having that shift in mindset to challenge what we're doing on a continuous basis. Other things I think are going to play an important part as we move into the future. Novel therapies such as phage therapy, we're probably going to see getting talked about and hopefully used at a farm and commercial level going forward. So, you know, we live in, I think, exciting times for pig health management, should we say, at the moment.
Absolutely agreed, Richard. Thank you for joining us today to share your thoughts on antimicrobial reduction in the pig industry.
You're very welcome.
Our Growing Healthy Pigs Ambassadors are a group of like-minded, forward-thinking pig farmers who make it their mission to grow healthy pigs. Top quality health and welfare is fundamental to successful pig production, and executing disease prevention strategies at farm level plays a key role in achieving this. With this in mind, many producers have turned to implementing thorough vaccination programs, which act as an insurance policy to help prevent disease outbreaks on farm, which can be detrimental to business profitability. Today, we're talking to Adam Marshall on how including a new vaccine has allowed him to produce good quality, healthy pigs while reducing his antibiotic use.
Hi, Adam. Thanks for joining us today. To start off with, can you tell us a little bit about your farming system, number of pigs set up, etc.?
Hi. So we farm at Slyhouse's Farm in the Scottish Borders. I farm alongside my father, Adam Senior, and my younger brother, Charlie. We have been at the Sly Houses farm for, this will be our 101 year. There's been pigs on the farm for a good number of years. Back in 2010, we decided to, we were going to cull out our existing stock of GSR crossbreds we had on farm. We had 100 sows and we dwindled down the herd, and we restocked in 2012 with the Danish genetics. So we brought in 200 sows, F1 breeding gilts, and we are producing about up to about 33 pigs per sow born alive per year. We are farrowing nines and tens every week on a weekly system. We run with 1,200 weaners and 1,200 finishers, and that is our current pig herd. We're in the process of expanding up to 300 sows. It's going to enable us to get to 200 pigs sold weekly, so we can fill a wagon to become more efficient.
Fantastic. What a great introduction. What disease prevention strategies do you have in place on your farm within your herd? And why do you find that's been so important to your business?
Back in 2012, when we put a new herd on, we decided that we had to change our, the way how we farmed and the way how we looked at disease risks because of the modern pig that we put on our farm, and they were more acceptable to knockdowns. You know, that it's a, the dam bred sow is a prolific sow, but it would also possibly be a softer pig to your average pig. So we felt we had to kind of secure them a little bit more. We had to be far more careful what comes on the farm and just for disease risk. So we have a strict biosecurity. No one's allowed on the farm if they've been amongst other pigs. We let no couriers, or we don't have gates, but there's a lot of signposts. So far they've been quite successful in keeping the people off the unit that shouldn't be on the unit, and more importantly that don't need to be on the unit. It's just far more profitable as a business to not have these diseases on farm, so we do our utmost best to keep everything off.
Absolutely. No, prevention is the best cure, as they say. So in recent times, what changes have you made to your vaccination programme to aid these prevention strategies, and how do you feel that has benefited your herd?
So I'll go back to 2012 when we put the new stock on and filled the unit, and we didn't vaccinate for anything for up to maybe 4 years. I spoke to some people in the industry and some vets, and we kind of agreed. We talked about some diseases that we could vaccinate for to prevent, but we all agreed that it was best to vaccinate for nothing and see what you've got. And I'm pleased we did that. We only vaccinate for two things, which is Bulledema and Lawsonia. Lawsonia we picked up maybe 2 years ago, and we've been using the MSD vaccination for a good year now. So when we picked up the Lawsonia and we first seen it evident in weaned pigs, so we were being tackled with Lawsonia about 5 to 6 weeks of age, which was very quick after weaning, and we felt that we were struggling to put a finger on what was wrong, and we got the pigs was the unevenness of the pigs after weaning, and right through coming out of the weaner room, there would sometimes be up to 20-30% of pigs that were just hungry looking pigs, just haven't grown, haven't matured, and it took a lot of feed to finish them. That was our biggest problem we had. But since the MSD vaccine has been launched, we've had some great success in using that vaccine, and it's very easy to administrate at between 21 days of age. And it's another job to do picking them up at that age, but you know, for every pig you jag, it will be fine.
So since starting to use the Lawsonia vaccine then, Adam, have you really seen a decrease in your antibiotic usage? I know you were saying you were using in feed meds.
Yes. Yeah, we were using in-feed meds to tackle the Lawsonia while using the other vaccine. But since going on to the MSD vaccine, we're just about off using Thailand for Lawsonia with the vaccine.
That's fantastic.
We will once we have our new farrowing units built, we will be able to wean a slightly stronger pig, and I feel we won't have to use the tie line at all in feed.
It's such a
crucial age of the pig. It's getting attacked by Lawsonia.
Yeah, and I would think with antibiotic usage on farm being such a hot topic, any measures that can be taken to reduce antibiotics has to be for the best. Actually, on that point, when it comes to antibiotic use, how do you feel about the recent changes for antibiotic targets in the pig sector? And how do you feel about the upcoming Ruma target? Do you think that's realistic?
Yeah, I personally think it's quite positive, and it's good being part of the pig industry. And sometimes when you hear these things come out at the beginning, they can be quite difficult to take in. But I'm quite proud to be part of the pig industry, and we're setting these targets. And I think everything's achievable, but we all have to work together. And there's some farms will use far more than others, and there's some farms won't use very many. But you'll tend to find the farms that don't use very many are farms that are in a very low density area, or have invested heavily in new sheds and got really good ventilation and good breeding stock. But
do you think there are specific changes that the pig industry needs to make as a sector to meet the new Ruma targets?
I think there should be maybe far more support groups. There should be more liaison with vets and feed companies, and it should be more of a team game than an individual game to tackle it. I think anything's achievable, but everyone has to be on the same page. Generation would have just had in feed medication than trying to find out what's actually the problem. Or, you know, I was once told before we vaccinated for anything, and we were told not to vaccinate for anything and to find out what the problem is before you actually have to deal with it. And it's probably right enough with in-feed medication has been the biggest killer to the British pig industry, but we're slowly getting on top of it, and people are reviewing what they have to use and what they need to use. And I think going forward, as long as there's loads of support for the producers, and I think targets can be met, but there's always a way.
I think that's a really refreshing point of view, Adam, and I think that maybe serves to highlight the importance of on-farm diagnostics. It's obviously something, a process that you went through yourselves, as you said, to see the clinical symptoms first and then really to dive into that to find out what is going on. So I think that's a really nice reflection on how you're treating your animals and the kind of place that you want to be at. So thank you for sharing that. We really appreciate your insights.
No problem at all.
Thank you for listening to the Growing Healthy Pigs podcast. Tune in next time when we'll be discussing the sustainability of the UK pig sector. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your chosen platform and follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn for regular updates on the pig industry, plus the latest tips from our ambassador farmers. See you next time.
The Growing Healthy Pigs podcast.